Welcome to the Independent RX Forum with Pharmacy Times and the National Community Pharmacists Association, the leading advocate and business education resource for America's independent pharmacists.
Hi, everyone. I'm Doug Hoy, the CEO for the National Community Pharmacists Association. Thanks for being with us today. Today, I've got my colleague, Carly Traylor, here with me. Carly is a pharmacist, and she's in charge of our fellowship program. Now, many of you may not know what a fellowship program is. Then if you don't, then you're like me. When this fellowship program was brought to my attention, and I thought, sounds like a type of residency program or something that, you know, only new graduates do. But I've had my eyes open and have learned a lot about fellowship programs. And so we're going to talk to Carly about what is this fellowship program? What's it do? What's it do for you and your business? And what's it do for the fellow? So welcome, Carly.
Thanks so much. I appreciate taking the time to talk about the fellowship.
Carly, just before we get started, I always want to let listeners know just a little about you. You're a pharmacist. How long you've been a pharmacist? Just the basics.
Absolutely. Yeah. So I graduated from the University of Georgia College of Pharmacy in 2014. So shortly after that, I completed an ASHP accredited residency program at Moose Pharmacy. This was really seminal to my career because I was there the first year of the CPSN North Carolina grant. So I got a front row seat to innovation. From that residency program, I went back to my hometown in Hayhire, Georgia, and I worked at Chancy Drugs, where I was their clinical director and managed everything they did above and beyond dispensing. So from immunizations to disease state wellness classes to their adherence program. And it was so much fun to really have kind of like my own laboratory and supportive staff of seeing like, how can we reimagine these enhanced services? So after 3 years, I joined the NCPA team in the summer of 2018. And I've been really blessed that I've been able to take that skill set that I learned in Hayhire in that small town, you know, family owned pharmacy and bring it to really our members across the nation. So this fellowship program is very much a culmination of all of that experience.
Well, it's a great pedigree with the Moose residency and then the Chancy Pharmacy. So great experience before you've come to NCPA. So tell us about, when I heard about the fellowship program, I was skeptical and thought, why do we need another residency? Residencies already exist. So just give us a basic description of what the fellowship program does and how is it different than, say, a residency?
Yeah, I think that's a great question. So I think you'd answer it really quickly in describing we need to get to scale. So when it comes to enhanced services, there are absolute superstars out there doing enhanced services, but we haven't made it like ubiquitous across the pharmacy culture with community pharmacy. And so residencies are great tools for doing that. I'm a product of a residency program. I thoroughly support the program. But what we're seeing is a stagnation in the number of sites slash a decline and not the rapid increase that we need to see. So this fellowship really answers that question. Okay, well, I'm not a new grad, right? Or I am just graduating, but I want to get plugged into an independent, really get my hands dirty trying to get these enhanced services up and running. And so it really kind of takes the model of the residency, but it allows you to filter in upwards of hundreds of fellows a year through this program and with all varying types of experience. So you have the new grads, but you also have the pharmacy owners, you have the new hires, you have the ones that have been on staff for 20 plus years. And that really enriches your experience as you go through the year.
My reflex is that this would be mostly for new grads. And you just described that, it's not just for new grads. Can you go into that a little bit more? So let's just draw a hypothetical. So it's not a new grad. It's not someone who just graduated in the last year or two or just finished a residency, but it's someone who's, say, been practicing, let's just say, for 10 years. Mm-hmm. I don't know if there's a typical, but what might that look like? Let's just say you've got staff pharmacist, been practicing for 10 years. How would that person come to the fellowship program? And why would that person come to the fellowship program?
Absolutely. So with the fellowship program, you got to think about how, you're able to grow where you're planted, right? And so that we broke that model of you have to be a new grad to be a part of this. So understanding how the program is structured, it's a 12-month program. We have everything online. So there's no required travel. So you literally can be doing this from the pharmacy that you're working at. And what I love about this is that you do get that breadth of experience. So the majority of our fellows are in that like established staff member role that they've been working there for 10 plus years. And they participate in these live discussions and they watch the videos and do the homework that is really in tandem with what CPSN is, the messaging that they're sending out, Flip the Pharmacy, NCPA. We really pull it all into one place and provide a support system that walks you through from A to Z. So it really helps to describe the program almost like an executive MBA. So you can create this program at any site. So this is an excellent opportunity if a pharmacy wants to kind of experiment with a clinical role in the pharmacy that goes beyond dispensing, as well as if you have someone on staff that never did a residency. And they want to get a little bit more experience. But I'll also be honest, we have quite a few new grads that are joined in there. And we've had some that are completing ASHP accredited residency programs while they're doing the fellowship. We very much like wanted this to be a holistic experience for them.
So I'm reminded a little bit. I remember, so I practiced for about 5 years before coming to NCPA. And the last couple, I worked for my dad. And I was getting hot and to do some compounding. And so I was buying the API and kind of experimenting and mixing it around and showing him, hey, I'm thinking about doing this. And he was near the time for him to retire and that he wanted to retire. And he said, hey, look, I'll support whatever you're doing as long as it makes money and you do it. You take responsibility for it. So I mentioned that. I wonder if there are some scenarios like that with the fellowship program. And if there are, do you have any examples or any stories that you can tell where either someone's done that or someone has said, hey, I'm not the person for the fellowship program, but this person works on my staff and he or she would be awesome because I want he or she to be able to grow something. But can you kind of bring that to life with any examples?
I actually think that's the perfect example, right? Because what you just described, kind of that phase where your father was getting ready to retire, you're getting ready to take over, you're wanting to experiment, you're wanting to pull in new services, see what you can do, kind of like, you know, test the waters, so to be, but you were an island, like you probably were plugged into an association, so you had that support system. But what the fellowship does is that it really provides such a strong infrastructure and such strong curriculum with speakers that are really giving you a backstage tour into their pharmacies, that you're able to see like 20 steps ahead versus if you were trying to start these services on your own. So it's so unique compared to if you were to go to say like a full day training or if you were going to a convention. This is something that you get like a constant hit of accountability and resources every time you meet with this group. So a really great example, I would say, is probably Mitchell's Drugstore in Missouri. So they joined the program in our very first year. They had a fellow in our second year. They're planning to have a fellow in the third year. So they're definitely sold on the program. And their first fellow, Paula, she had been an established staff member at that pharmacy, done so well, thrived. Tim Mitchell, the owner, has been an innovator for decades now, right? Like on the cutting edge of services. But he was like, I didn't realize that there was more. Like he was like, there was so much more that we could grow. And like in one of the sessions we talked about how to efficiently create your workflow. So he's like, I've been working in this pharmacy for 30 years. And I never thought of moving this bookcase to the feet, 2 feet in one direction and saving me 10 steps every time I walk there 30 times a day. And he was like, those little things over time make such a big difference. And Paula's capstone project was transitioning from a pharmacist-led med sync to a technician-trained community health worker-led adherence program. And she was able to save within just a short, like less than a year, she saved the company $150,000 in inventory cost. And so it's really the accelerant that our pharmacies need to reach those goals.
150K?
Mm-hmm. So it's 50, about 50,000 per store. And there were 3 stores.
Wow. That gets my attention. So, and just to correct, you know, you said in my situation, yeah, you're probably plugged in and able, but no, you know, I was getting a recipe from probably Pharmacy Times, probably on how to do transdermal proclorazine, and didn't know how to bill it, you know, just really, like you said, out there on an island by myself. So a program like this would have been really, really helpful. Carly, you mentioned the Capstone Project.
Yes.
Sounds heavy and complicated. What is Capstone? Stone is heavy. Tell me more
yes.
about what is that?
I'd love to. I go back to my earlier statement. We are training change agents. We want thought leaders in the community. So we want our fellows to be making small adjustments, you know, moving a bookcase 2 feet to the right, really working on their immunization services, pulling in best resources and best practices from the other sites. But their Capstone Project is really that big project that has been, you know, a top priority for the pharmacy for a while. They just haven't had the time, resources, staff to support it. And so the fellow takes that on, whatever it may be. And I challenge them, you know, match something that's high priority in the pharmacy with something that the fellow is passionate about. So for an example, we had a pharmacy in Eastern Carolina that they had a pharmacist on staff. The fellow was really passionate about opioid use disorder. So for his Capstone Project, he was just going to propose a collaboration with the physicians and wanted to start like a couple of months. And he presented his Capstone Project to the physicians in the office and they were like, we need this now. And so his Capstone project got kicked into hyperdrive, right? And we see a range, like it can be like what he did with the opioid use disorder. It could be getting started with point of care testing. We had a pharmacy in Hawaii that had never done point of care testing at the beginning of the year. And by the end they had secured a exclusive contract with the local school system to do all of their point of care testing for COVID. So it's that kind of, those kind of examples of like, all right, I've been dreaming of this. I've been wanting to do this, but you tap all the resources and we get some really great kind of one-on-one time with our USA luminaries, our really heavy hitters across the country so that you can bounce ideas off of them and kind of learn from their expertise. There's no other way that you can get that kind of experience anywhere else.
So just from I just got off a call earlier this afternoon with a group of about 30 of our members, pharmacy owners, and we were talking about cash flow and the critical nature of cash flow and just on the financial side, which of course that's where NCPA, you know, that's one of the differentiators from us and others is that we're really focused on the financial as well as the clinical. So I know the cost, unless you've changed it, is $7,500
yes.
to enroll, but you know, as a pharmacy owner, $7,500, okay, that's not insignificant, but that's, you know, that's probably three to four weeks of salary. But I'm going to lose a staff pharmacist for a year while they're in the fellowship program. Now that costs, that's now I'm in six figures. So can you talk, you know, and also how do I get temporary help if I'm going to lose this pharmacist for an entire year from being able to, you know, to be able to fill prescriptions and be at the counter? How are pharmacies adjusting to that? And, you know, how do you, I mean, losing a pharmacist for a year and a salary for a year is a pretty big deal. So how are people dealing with that?
Absolutely. So I'm glad that you asked this question because it helps me kind of like articulate a couple of facts about the fellowship. First and foremost is that we suggest, and this is really kind of like the minimum, like they can have more time protected, but we really suggest the pharmacy protects about 12 hours a week for the fellow. Now, this is not 12 hours in front of a computer watching lectures and participating in live discussions. We meet max twice a month, and anytime that we do a live discussion, it's capped at 90 minutes. So the fellows know how to schedule their time around our discussions. The rest of that time is giving back to your pharmacy. It's enhancing your services. It's making sure that you have the best general workflow. You have the best MedSync workflow. You're optimizing all of your extra services that you're doing and getting that return on investment. And so you can look through a lot of our different examples, but it's very easy to bring Tim Mitchell back into that is, you know, a year in the program and you could pay for 15 years of fellows being a part of that. And it's definitely something that we were very cost conscious. And we wanted to give you unprecedented access to our faculty members. So in nowhere else would you actually get to be in kind of a learning community with a Trip Logan and or a Joe Moose over an extended period of time, but that's what we offer. And you can compare these costs with what it would be if you were starting up a residency from scratch. And those costs are significantly higher with much less time with the fellow or the pharmacist at your site. So we very much want them to be a part of workflow. We very much want them to be integrated into these services and into your pharmacy so that you're seeing in real time what's coming back to your store.
So I just to so you're saying that the pharmacist in the fellow doesn't have to be, you're recommending about 12 hours a week dedicated to the fellowship, which would, you know, leave at least technically 30 hours or so for them to do their regular staffing at the pharmacy.
Absolutely. And we consider that really vital time, because if you don't understand the general workflow and services that are in the pharmacy, you can't build on from that. So we want them to balance their time. We want them to have some time behind the counter dispensing, but we also want them to have some protected time where they're actually working on the projects.
So what kind of fellows do you get? I mean, are these, so you mentioned Paula from Tim Mitchell's pharmacy. She sounds like a superstar. Is this just for superstars?
No. So the way I like to describe it is you can kind of look at it two ways, right? You can look at it wholeheartedly as the pharmacy, right? The pharmacy as a culture, the pharmacy that, you know, they know that enhanced services is a thing. They're just not interested, right? They're just like, let me dispense. Then you have the pharmacies that they know that they want to change. They just don't know how. And then you have the third group, which is where, you know, the Joe Mooses and the Randy McDonoughs, like they know how to change and they're there, like they're taken care of. So we're really going after that middle section, right? The ones who want to change, but don't necessarily know how. Well, you can break that down by pharmacist as well, because you can be at, I worked at some of the best pharmacies in the country, and you still have pharmacists on staff that would fit in those three buckets. The one that's like, I just want to dispense, just leave me alone, let me do that. The one that's like, I really want to learn more, but I don't know how to get started. And then the ones that are like, I got it, they're leading the charge kind of thing. So really it's for pharmacists and pharmacies that see how pharmacy is evolving and changing and want to be a part of that.
So how would you say the fellowships, so right now, so we're doing this in spring, early spring, and as far as how busy it is in the pharmacy, pharmacies are always busy, but, and it's still, you know, busy from the pandemic, but things, at least mm-hmm. the impact of the pandemic is, at least for now, and hopefully for good, is abating some. Mm-hmm. But how, you know, as far as even that 10 or 12 hours a week for the fellowship, what would you say to listeners who say, look, you know, my pharmacy, we're, you know, busier than the proverbial one-arm paper hanger. Mm-hmm. And I don't have staffing capacity to give up a pharmacist even for 10 or 12 hours. How would you respond to that?
I think that number one, you do like the same way when you're working with patients is you got to be respectful of the pharmacy and the pharmacy's culture. But at the same time, you're never going to see a reprieve. You're never going to see you catching your breath if you don't start reworking the way that you approach the business of pharmacy. And so it's something where I could be very cheeky and say you can't afford not to, but I could also point at our evidence and say we had a thriving class during COVID. So we launched this program September of 2020. So these people, we went together, we walked along together throughout that pandemic. And I mean, I don't think I had a single live discussion where I didn't leave with goosebumps, because the fellows were learning just as much from one another as they were from the faculty members and getting to see that. And so it wasn't like they were trying, again, going back to our earlier example, they weren't by themselves trying to deal with the pandemic. They had an army behind them. They had a brain trust that they could go to and say, hey, I'm struggling with this. Can you help me? And I was able to like swoop in and create resources for them that way. So it's a little bit cheeky, but I would say like you almost can't afford not to.
Yeah, it's almost like, I guess what you're saying is you can't say you're too busy to find ways to save time, because mm-hmm. you're never going to, you know, you'll never find those if you're too busy to find a way to save time. So just a couple more questions, Carly. You mentioned, you've dropped a few names, and I mentioned the, you know, pedigree at the start. You you've mentioned the faculty. Can you tell us what faculty members are involved and maybe what state they're from? You know, I think there are many names that people will either know or have heard of, but maybe even just a quick what they do. So you already mentioned Trip Logan. Like, so what does Trip Logan talk about during this, in this fellowship curriculum?
So we were very strategic in this. We wanted to highlight our USA luminaries. So that's Trip Logan, Randy McDonough, Amina Abubakar, Joe Moose, and Matt Osterhaus. And so we looked at where are their talents, where are their strengths that we really wanted to showcase. So Tripp is a perfect example. His session is right at the beginning of the year where he talks about staff utilization, specifically how he utilizes community health workers. So going back to my example with Mitchell's drugstore, is Paula already had community health workers in her store, but through that dyad, she really saw a vision for how she could utilize those staff members and help to promote her pharmacy. And so, and I can name more too. So we've got Tripp was doing the staff utilization. We had Joe Moose talks about delivery services as well as opioid related services. We've got Randy McDonough. He talks about building relationships with pharmacy or building relationships with clinical providers. And he talks about behavioral health. And then we've got this whole other element where we want to pull out, okay, who among across the country are we seeing that's doing some really cool things? So we have Travis Wolf join us and talk about implementation science. We reach out to the academic arm of CPSN ACT, and we tap into some of those community pharmacy faculty members, and we have them do patient care updates with the fellows. So we're not doing pharmacotherapy lectures, but we are saying, hey, here's where to find the latest guidelines. This is how you stay up to date. Here's the relevant, how you apply it in practice. So I'm really proud of our schedule. We're constantly asking for feedback from the fellows of what we need to tweak or add, but I've been really proud of it. It's been good stuff.
Good deal. So maybe just one last question about, so you've got someone listening to this and, you know, maybe they're leaning forward a little bit saying, all right. And you know, you have one person listening who's looking at it from the business angle and says, I'm thinking about it. Maybe I'm somewhat interested, but convince me from a financial standpoint why I should consider this. And you've got another person leaning forward because, as she says, you know, from a practice transformation standpoint, this gets us beyond dispensing and is part of the movement to re-engineer, to evolve the practice of pharmacy. So two different people, two different things that motivate them, both interested in the fellowship. How would you reply to them? Go with the financial person first.
Yeah, absolutely. So when you're looking at this as an investment, I really love, like I said, we have these established staff members, and I think that's so important because it's such a great way to structure professional development within your staff and making sure that people stay and they aren't leaving. But then you also have this really cool opportunity where you could cost justify, you know, like I mentioned earlier, experimenting with that clinical position. So I shared that when I was at Chansey's, I managed all their services above and beyond dispensing, but that was a new role. So we created it as a hybrid. So I spent half my time working on clinical services and half my time floating between different pharmacies to provide relief to the current staff. So you can get creative about how you justify this and be honest with the fellow and say, hey, let's try this for a year. If we can justify it after a year, let's keep you on. And the majority of new hires stay on between the last 2 years. So it's been really good, data to look at.
And the other person coming from the practice transformation point of view.
I think that I would kind of go back to my earlier statement of saying this is the accelerant. So like if you see that vision that this is enhanced services and you see that room for growth within your store, like this is the catalyst that will get you, that will launch you into that next stratosphere. So I like talking about our fellows that we had last year, Martika. She was at Dan Howard Drug. And she did such great work during the year. She won our NCPA adherence award the very next year. So out of all of our, you know, NCPA applicants who were applying for that award, she won. And that's the perfect example of we are trying to create the next class of Trips and Aminas and Randy's. And so it's so important to get to see that in reality. So it's a very fast turnaround.
Great. Well, thank you, Carly Traylor. Carly is a pharmacist with NCPA. She's the Director of Strategic Initiatives and Student Affairs. We've been talking about fellowships today on the Pharmacy Times podcast. Carly, thank you very much. It's been a pleasure talk with you about fellowships, and you've made a believer out of me.
Sounds good. Thanks so much.